Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great nation that tried a great experiment over the last 10 or 20 years. An experiment involving destigmatizing drug use. The message by a lot of public service ads and public programs was, look, the problem isn't drug addiction. The problem is people not doing drugs safely enough, not taking the proper precautions. And once you take the proper precautions, no problem, everything fine. Well, that's not true. There is an extremely significant and persuasive article that just appeared in Atlantic, and it's an article entitled "Destigmatizing Drug Use Has Been a Profound Mistake." Blue America needs to send a stronger, more consistent message that hard drugs should be stunned. Now, that idea that hard drugs should be stunned, there are a lot of people out there who are listening right now who are saying, well, duh, I mean, we are losing 100,000 people a year to drug overdoses of various kinds. But part of that problem with the increasing addiction is that the wrong messages are being sent. So say Professor Keith Humphreys, who's a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Stanford. He is one of the authors here. And Jonathan Calkins, who is a professor of operations research and public policy at Carnegie Mellon University. He is a co-author of Marijuana Legalization, What Everyone Needs to Know. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us. Thank you. First of all, you begin your article by describing, and I hope you'll share some of this with our audience, describing some of the most misguided so-called drug safety programs when it comes to public advertising and public messaging. Give an example of what you have in mind.
So we produced in the article a photo of a billboard as part of a campaign that appeared in San Francisco, which is close to near where I live, that featured active, well-dressed, happy, healthy-looking young people sharing an intoxicant. In fact, when I first saw it, I thought it was a beer ad, but it actually was an ad about fentanyl. And it said, you know, do it with other people, no overdose. And, you know, to be fair to the people who are putting it up, they do want people not to die from fentanyl, and you know, John and I, of course, share that view. But, and they think that if you, you know, destigmatize it, then people get more information, and then they won't, you know, take as many risks and so on. But, you know, I don't think there's any evidence that that's true. And in fact, as we point out in the article, if you take the example of smoking, you know, we've done a lot to disapprove of smoking, and as a result, people smoke a lot less than they used to. So, that wisdom needs to be remembered as we think about these drugs like fentanyl.
Okay, this fentanyl ad that you're describing, you said that these people look as if they're actually enjoying a beverage.
Yeah, and looks like a party. Yeah.
It says no overdose, K-N-O-W, overdose. Do it with friends. Again, is there any context in which taking fentanyl is either good for you or harmless?
No, it's a very risky thing to do, and we would be better off. You know, it's very handy. Fentanyl's very handy in the surgical suite under the guidance of an anesthesiologist. But as a recreational activity, it's one of the most dangerous things you can do.
Who is responsible for this billboard, which is extraordinary?
They were both outside advocates, but also the San Francisco Department of Public Health, and as we highlight in there, also the New York Department of Health also had a similar campaign on New York subways. You know, this idea has real purchase in some parts of the country, so in the bluer parts, as we mentioned.
So this idea of destigmatizing drug use, what do you say to those people who say, well, look at the examples of how well it's worked elsewhere. It's worked beautifully in Portugal, worked beautifully in Portland, Oregon, right?
Well, I would disagree with them. I mean, having spent a lot of time in Portugal, one of the interesting things is drug use is quite disapproved of there. I mean, it is a communitarian country with a strong Catholic history, and the social norms are not to use drugs. And that's different than the kind of norms we have, at least, for example, here on the West Coast, where it's much more a, if it feels good, do it sort of culture.
The idea here is you're going beyond the question of criminalization or decriminalization. When it comes to fentanyl, which is particularly deadly, there's been a great deal of attention paid to fentanyl coming across the border and the involvement of cartels. What is the most effective thing that we could change in society right now to reduce the number of fentanyl deaths?
In the short run, the most effective thing to do is make sure that the overdose-reducing drug naloxone is available and make sure there is a lot of drug treatment available. But that is not a perfect solution. That is not even going to save everybody who is already suffering from addiction. And the really important thing is to not think about right now. The really important thing is to think about the long run and to try to reduce the inflow of new people to addiction. That's very tough once people already have that condition. It's much better to try to reduce the inflow to people who have that challenge.
So what do you do to discourage people from entering that world of addiction, which can be such a nightmare and such a life-wrecking prospect?
Broadly speaking, there's two things you can do. You can either make it hard to get the drug, expensive, not available, or you can make people not want it.
Aren't both the ideal?
And the challenge now is that as synthetic drugs are starting to dominate, so fentanyl is displacing plant-based heroin, and methamphetamine has been growing enormously relative to plant-based cocaine, it is even harder for us to control supply than it was 10 or 20 years ago with the crop-based drugs. So we depend even more on people recognizing this is just not something you want to do. And changing social mores around these very dangerous substances is the most important thing in the long run. It actually worked once before. 150 years ago, the country had beginnings of a pretty bad drug epidemic in the late 19th century. And there certainly were some policies that changed, but ultimately it was societal attitudes towards those drugs that really was what turned the corner back then. And that's, I think, what we really need this time also.
What were those drugs in the late 19th century that you're mentioning? What were the drugs primarily that you had in mind?
Heroin and cocaine were probably number one and number two.
Wow. We're speaking to Professor Keith Humphreys and Professor Jonathan Calkins of Stanford University and Carnegie Mellon University, respectively. Campaigns with billboards. Explain what we can learn after we come back from the experience of smoking, because smoking has, with tobacco damage and tobacco-based illness, has greatly decreased in the United States. We've been successful in discouraging smoking. How can some of those same approaches work for dealing with dangerous and potentially deadly drugs? We'll be right back on the MedVet Show.
The Michael MedVet Show, all across America.
It's an honor to talk to you because I think you got the best talk show in the United States.
Thank you. I agree.
This is the Michael MedVet Show. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael MedVet Show.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay heating pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
In the Bay Area of San Francisco says no overdose. That's no K-N-O-W overdose. Do it with friends. Oh, that makes it all better. Use with people and take turns. Don't be greedy. No, it says use with people and take turns. Try not to use alone or have someone check on you. And then they advertise the bottom of the billboard, get free Naloxone, Narcan, overdose prevention training. harm education, harm re-education. The idea that encouraging people to be more responsible in the way they use drugs is a less viable public policy, argue Professors Humphreys and Calkins, who have written a very thought-provoking piece in Atlantic Magazine. It's a much less viable way of changing people's behavior than actually discouraging drug addiction altogether. You mentioned the success that America had in reducing smoking. What was the key element that allowed us to achieve that progress?
So if we went back to the 1950s, probably all three of us in this conversation would be smoking. And I'm actually sitting in a medical center. I still would have been smoking, and our colleagues would have been smoking. And it was an utterly banal thing to smoke. It was just what you did. And what happened with very hard work by anti-smoking advocates over the years is persuading people, no, it shouldn't be just what you did, because it's killing an awful lot of people. You shorten your life, you increase your risk of heart attack, and also these companies are taking all this money, extracting all this wealth from us. It's a bad thing to do, and that is now the way it is. If I lit up a cigarette now, yes, it would be illegal because I'm in a smoke-free facility, but I would frankly be much more worried my colleagues would look at me like, you know, what's the matter with you? You know, most of us aren't motivated by laws as much as what do the people I respect think of me, right? We denormalized smoking, and as a result, it is a far less common activity. And so the argument that some people are making about fentanyl is we need to normalize it, I think, is exactly backwards from what our experience has been. The things we disapprove of, we get less of, not more of.
And tobacco is the best example, but it's not the only one. Similar things happened with drunk driving. Driving with no seatbelt. You know, you're supposed to wear a helmet while you're bicycling now. Don't litter. Even stuff like cleaning a mess for your dog. And I think those other examples are instructive because they were less driven or planned top down. They were ways that society, with leadership at various levels and then just people deciding, were changing. So cultural norms do change, sometimes for the better.
There was just a new survey that was done in Oregon where they had legalized public use of drugs, and it now appears that by an overwhelming margin, voters in Oregon want to reconsider that. Is that kind of thing a move in the right direction?
That is exactly, you're exactly right. That is what has happened in Oregon. And I think it's a case where the well-intended thought that if we became more tolerant, the problem would be less severe and people with the problem would come in and seek help. And the problem with that reasoning is people often come in to seek help for drugs and alcohol specifically because someone is disapproving of them, not because someone is approving of them. So very commonly in treatment is because someone's coming in not because they woke up one day and decided they weren't self-actualizing, but because my boss said if I show up drunk one more time at work, he's going to fire me. Or my wife said if I don't stop using drugs, she's moving out with the kids. It's being leaned on and disapproved on is often the motivator. And Oregon, unfortunately, got that backwards. And as a result, they're suffering quite a bit as a state.
And one of the other things you mentioned in your piece in The Atlantic is part of this attempt to normalize drug use is based on the plant-based drugs, marijuana and hashish and others, that were made available years ago, 20, 30, 40 years ago. But it's a very different menu of so-called recreational drugs that are on offer right now. I mean, we talked about fentanyl, methamphetamines. Methamphetamines are relatively novel and happening now all across the country. At what cost?
Yeah, and even cannabis is not cannabis anymore. I mean, you know, so, you know, people my age, you know, would have grown up with cannabis that had a strength of 3, 4, 5% THC, which is the principal intoxicant.
And now the average, you know, canvassing sold in legal markets is probably at least 20% THC. So we can't generalize from, you know, maybe when we were young we thought, oh, you know, people overstated the risks of cannabis, which they did. It's absolutely true, they did.
Reefer madness.
Yeah, that's right. But it doesn't follow from that that, you know, cannabis today is safe, and certainly it doesn't fall from that that methamphetamine and fentanyl are safe, or that being worried about them and telling people not to use them is some sort of, hysterical concern. I mean, if you, you know, I do tell everyone I love, please do not use these drugs. And as part of that, do not trust a pill you buy online and assume it isn't these drugs, because we have people dying all over the country. It's the one pill can kill sounds like hysteria, but the thing is, it's objectively true with these drugs.
And in terms of the changes that need to be made, do they need to start with law enforcement, with education, or within the economic system, and just the kinds of ads that you're talking about that have been effective before?
Yes, it's an all hands on deck. I mean, you used numbers before, 100,000 people dying a year. This is hard to overstate how catastrophic the situation is. There is not a single silver bullet solution, so we'll take an all-hands-on-deck approach.
And you argue extremely persuasively for that approach in your piece, which I'm proud to say that we've been able to link to our website at michaelmedved.com. The piece is called Destigmatizing Drug Use Has Been a Profound Mistake. And a profound and deadly mistake. The subtitle, Blue America Needs to Send a Stronger, More Consistent Message That Hard Drugs Should Be Shunned. Dr. Humphreys and Professor Calkins, appreciate very much your participation. When we come back, the President of the United States has just been conducting a press conference together with the President of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky. And what is new and dramatic about that undertaking? We will get to that and more on The Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show, all across America. This is The Michael Medved Show. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show. Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. President Biden is urging Congress to approve his Ukraine funding request before the holiday break.
Congress needs to pass the supplemental funding to Ukraine before they break the holiday recess, before they give Putin the greatest Christmas gift they could possibly give him.
He made his appeal in the Oval Office while alongside Ukrainian President Zelensky. Arizona's Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs is urging the Biden administration to allocate over $500 million amidst the escalating migrant crisis. In a letter to President Biden, Hobbs attributes the request to the federal government's failure to secure Arizona's border with Mexico. Former President Trump is launching a set of digital trading cards called the Mugshot Edition. In a Truth Social announcement, he mentioned that these cards, following the successful Trump digital trading cards, are now available. John Schaefer, USA News.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Michael Medved show, there have been a few moments where the United States has embarrassed itself. More than a few. Many. Too many. That doesn't make us anything less than the greatest nation on God's green earth, because the moments of embarrassment and failure in the United States have been less frequent than in other nations of the world. But certainly one of the moments that embarrassed us was cutting loose allies who had fought alongside the United States, had sacrificed 500,000 casualties, killed in action, actually. I'm talking about the South Vietnamese. And in 1975, when the United States of America, because of political games, really, by the newly triumphant Democrats in Congress, cut off the aid that we had promised to South Vietnam to continue defending themselves against North Vietnamese aggression. This is one of the things that made me a conservative, was that you had people like Ted Kennedy, who were appalled at the idea of giving any money at all to people who had fought alongside us for years and were fighting for their own independence and survival. And in Ukraine, it's even more serious than that, and even more clear-cut, because when you're talking about Vietnam or even talking about Korea, you're talking about people of the same nationality. Ukrainians and Russians are different. They have a long history. This is a country of close to 50 million people where its independence and its turn toward democracy and its turn toward the West have been among the most glorious achievements of the Western world in our time. And so now the prospect that we are going to cut off the Ukrainians and cut them off from defending themselves because of why exactly? And given the fact that the majority of Americans really are sympathetic to Ukraine and want to help, the idea that politics should get in the way and prevent the president from bending a little bit on border control, and maybe the Republicans making it easier for him to do that. But actually getting together on this, it would be enormously important. The president just gave a press conference with Volodymyr Zelensky, and he spoke about the importance of this decision that the Congress is facing on the granting of aid. Listen.
And Ukraine will emerge from this war proud, free, and firmly rooted in the West unless we walk away. The American people can be and should be incredibly proud of the part they played in supporting Ukraine's success. We'll continue to supply Ukraine with critical weapons and equipment as long as we can, including $200 million I just approved today in a critical needed equipment, additional air defense interceptors, artillery, and ammunition. But without supplemental funding, we're rapidly coming to an end of our ability to help Ukraine respond to the urgent operational demands that it has. Putin is banking on the United States failing to deliver for Ukraine. We must prove him wrong. The United States and Congress must, as I asked last week, and this, it's stunning that we've gotten to this point. You know, we need to fully appreciate how it's wrong, how this is being viewed around the world and being used by Russia. Russian loyalists in Moscow celebrated when Republicans voted to block Ukraine's aid last week. The host of a Kremlin-run show literally said, and I quote, "Well done, Republicans. That's good for us," end of quote. Let me say that again. This host of a Kremlin-run show said, "Well done, Republicans. That's good for us." That's a Russian speaking. If you're being celebrated by Russian propagandists, it might be time to rethink what you're doing. History will judge harshly those who turn their back on freedom's cause. Today, Ukraine's freedom is on the line. But if we don't stop Putin, it'll endanger the freedom of everyone almost everywhere.
Okay, he certainly would be a meaningful blow against other countries of Eastern Europe. By the way, today, Donald Tusk, the new very well-respected president of Poland, takes office. Leader of Poland, and that's a significant step in the right direction. But the idea that we can do nothing at this point to solve the political disagreements about border relief, but President Biden, do both. It's a way that Republicans are handing you to go ahead, reach a compromise on the numbers or the emphasis, and give people positive developments in every direction. By the way, they're even trying to do that in Portland. We were talking before, when we were talking about drug addiction, about the disastrous situation in Portland, Oregon. A National Review reports that a task force launched last summer to help rejuvenate Portland, Oregon, is calling for the declaration of a 90-day fentanyl emergency, a ban on public drug use, increased shelter capacity, and more law enforcement as part of an effort to combat the converging homelessness, drug abuse, and mental health crises that have ravaged the far-left city. Among the 10 recommendations announced yesterday, the Portland Central City Task Force is also calling for a concerted effort to clean the city by targeting trouble spots for trash and graffiti, the removal of any plywood still covering downtown windows that was erected during the 2020 racial justice protests, that's in quotes, and riots and a moratorium on new taxes, according to news reports in the Portland Metro Chamber. Downtown Portland has been one of the slowest urban cores in the nation to recover from the COVID-19 business shutdowns. The city was also hammered by racial justice riots in 2020. That same year, Oregon voters passed Measure 110, which decriminalized drugs in the state. The result has been a skyrocketing number of drug overdose deaths, proliferating homeless camps, and a decline in visitors and downtown foot traffic that has weakened the city's economy. The human suffering has been at a scale we can't afford to normalize or downplay, the new governor of Oregon, recently elected Governor Tina Kotek, said during an Oregon Business Panel leadership summit yesterday. A visible recovery in 2024, they said, would be one where people feel safe in public, open drug use is rare, streets are clean, and the media are telling a positive story, according to the task force's website. Well, if there is a positive story to tell, to talk about the media to give you a positive story before there are actual positive developments, backers of the drug decriminalization measure criticized the recommendations around banning public drug use and increasing the number of law enforcement officers downtown. Okay, if you're not going to increase the number of law enforcement officers and crack down on open public drug use, how are you ever supposed to make progress? How idiotic that is. This is the American Civil Liberties Union of Oregon. We will get to that and more coming up on the MedVet Show. Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. This is $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, and above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Michael Medved show, a little bit of our Klezmer Christmas album that we dust off and enjoy every year around holiday season. And holiday season obviously means that we are moving directly toward the Iowa caucuses, and then 8 days after that, the New Hampshire primary. It is absolutely crucial what happens in those contests because, frankly, at this point, given the lead that Donald Trump has, if he does not win decisively, it will weaken his campaign. And there's a brand new Iowa poll, the headline in the Wall Street Journal. It says, key Iowa poll shows Trump up by 32 points. And the summary by John McCormick, former President Donald Trump holds a 32 percentage point lead over his nearest rival, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, in the state that will hold the first Republican nominating contest in just over a month, according to an Iowa poll released today. The survey shows 51% of likely GOP caucus goers say Trump is their first choice out of seven candidates tested, while 19% pick DeSantis and 16% select former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. They are followed by entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy at 5% and former Governor Chris Christie at 4%, while all others received 1% or less. The numbers show Trump building a lead ahead of the January 15th Iowa caucuses, while his challengers are barely moving or stalled. Now, they mention a couple of times in this article that Iowa is known in its past for last-minute reverses of various polls, and that it is still possible with Trump at 51%, well, that means if people consolidate anti-Trump votes, it can be enormously closer. If you put together DeSantis and Nikki Haley, leaving aside random votes for other candidates, that comes to 35%. And with Trump at 51%, who knows? But certainly... Nikki Haley has been running a enthusiastic campaign. Does that make a difference? Well, she was giving one of her main arguments to Iowans. And part of the reason for this focus that she is giving to Iowans is that the big advantage that Trump enjoys is that people were asked about were things better with the economy under Donald Trump. And not surprisingly, a vast number of people said yes, they were. To which Nikki Haley had this to say. This is clip four.
We know that the economy was good under Donald Trump, right? But what we need to also remember was we went $9 trillion in debt during that same time. And we are paying the price for that.
And what does paying the price mean? She means that what we need is a different kind of government that is not as chaotic or unpredictable. And this is, again, Nikki Haley to ABC News, clip 7.
I want to just put that directly to you in a yes or no. Do you think Donald Trump today in 2023 is fit to be president?
It's not about fitness. I think he's fit to be president. It should he be president. I don't think he should be president. You know, I thought he was the right president at the right time. I agreed with a lot of his policies. The problem is, you see, our country is in disarray. Our world is on fire. And you can't defeat Democrat chaos with Republican chaos. And Donald Trump brings us chaos. So it's not about being fit. It's just I don't think he's the right person to be president.
Somebody else who agrees with her on that, Liz Cheney, of course. She's on her book tour, and she was on Colbert insisting that the former GOP mantra of government is the problem didn't work out so well. Listen.
Undermining of the media. That's a very fascist thing to do.
There's no question that he's using a fascist playbook.
Right.
But it's also true right now, if you want to talk about, you know, for example, the disgusting anti-Semitism that is on the rise across this country, the left has a huge problem with anti-Semitism and what we're seeing on our university campuses, for example, and the unwillingness to stand against it. So
I would agree that anti-Semitism is a disease that runs across all cultural boundaries, not only in the United States, but across the world.
Right.
But what I mean by, say, undermining the media is undercutting, sort of like roughing up the referee was a project of the right for the last 20 years, or undermining public institutions.
No.
You say that people believe that our public institutions can take the punishment that Trump will give them, and that's why he's not as dangerous as he should be, but I mean, the Republican Party's mantra has been the government is the problem for so many years.
Yeah, but see, this is it's really important, in my view, that we not sort of slide into saying everything the Republicans have ever done, you know, is somehow the same as what Donald Trump is doing.
I'm not saying everything. Those are breadcrumbs.
Yeah, but I think you and I are just not going to agree on that. I mean, I think it's...
I know we're not going to agree, but do you understand why I'm asking that question?
Yeah, but I think you should let me answer it.
And good for her. By the way, there's a brand new Pew study about people's attitudes toward anti-Semitism in the United States. And Republicans, in terms of supporting Israel and opposing anti-Semitism, Republicans do much better than Democrats. It's much more overwhelming on the Republican side. Meanwhile, not a political movie at all, but one that takes a very, very dim view of the British elite. It's a new film from the acclaimed director of A Promising Young Woman. Her name is Emerald Fennell. The film is called Saltburn, which is the name of a luxurious estate in the movie. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Emerald Fennell, who won acclaim for directing Promising Young Woman, has a new project that she wrote and directed about a shy, awkward student at Oxford University who becomes obsessed with a dashing, aristocratic classmate in Saltburn, now playing in theaters.
I don't think I'll ever go home again.
Well, why don't you come home with me? Come to Saltburn.
Lots of people get lost in Saltburn.
Oh, that's just giving me goosebumps.
Well, there may be goosebumps because the planned visit for a few weeks in the summer ends up changing lives profoundly and not in a positive way. Irish actor Barry Keoghan is convincingly creepy as the central character, while Jacob Elordi, who also plays Elvis in the new Priscilla movie, is effectively charismatic as the self-confident guy everyone else admires. Rated R for some graphic sexuality and scenes of pain and cruelty that take a decidedly dark turn. 2.5 stars for the haunting and often disturbing Saltburn. And it's one of those films that, yes, it's often disturbing. You know how the idea is you're supposed to leave the movie theater with a song in your heart. And, I mean, I was thinking of showing, actually, our granddaughter some scenes from Singing in the Rain, which is one of those films that makes you feel good. This is a feel-terrible movie. And it's very artfully done. But I don't know if we need right now at this moment in American history additional doses of depression. Meanwhile, speaking of something that is upbeat, one of the most successful politicians in recent years in this country has been the governor of New Hampshire, Chris Sununu. And he is making a big announcement tonight about the candidate he is endorsing for president of the United States, which makes a difference because he's a very popular governor in New Hampshire. He will be joining us tomorrow on the Michael Medved Show. And we will also be joined, no coincidence actually, by Nikki Haley, who has been surging toward the position of being the main alternative to Donald J. Trump as the Republican nominee for President of the United States. We will also bring you the latest on attempts to cope with the Hunter Biden story, a gubernatorial candidate and party chair who questions the presence of globes in our life, not including the Golden Globes, in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hey, old man. Yeah, you, baby boomer. Are you feeling tired, run down, old, have aches and pains? Do you have a lack of energy that you once had in your youth? Carbon 60 is a new technology to help you restore your youth. Now, this is not hype or a gimmick. You see, Carbon 60 detoxifies you at the cellular level. It stabilizes free radicals, just like the antioxidants found in red wine and berries do, but on a far smaller, more bioavailable nanoscale. The results reported with energy, health, and vitality are nothing short of miraculous. In short order, you'll notice a difference in a few days. It's not a drug, it's carbon. Give us a call at Greska's Carbon 60 at 720-600-6040 or visit our site at c-60.com. Call 720-600-6040 and feel young again.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.